Thank you, Craig, for leading us in pastoral prayer. We certainly have been encouraged today, haven't we? A lot of things about God's Word, God's truth. Thank you, Ray, for encouraging us with the focus of keeping our eyes on the Lord and how God was working in your life this week. And I have one thing to say about the Awana Awards night. I'm just so proud of the kids here and all that they accomplished. I think we should give them a round of applause for all that they've done this year. And I know each and every parent is certainly grateful for everybody that serves in that ministry. Even at the youth ministry that we do on Wednesday night with Scott and Christy leading that, you know, that's rich and full. And you guys met Thursday, right, at your house? Friday? Can't remember. You guys were busy each night doing stuff. But anyway, just grateful for everybody that serves in the work of the ministry. It's just such an encouragement to this church family. So as we come to the study of God's Word today, I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and go ahead and grab your outlines. It helps you follow along, and we're going to kind of kick off some things here. So it's good to kind of look at the front, and the back is what the message will kind of be today. Like I said, we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 15 of 2 Peter chapter 1, and as we kind of launch from these verses into a series of messages in 2 Peter, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, from this central verse and what the Apostle Peter is teaching us and talking to us about, we're going to apply that into the rest of 2 Peter. Not all of it, but a big part of it. And you'll understand as we look at this, the series that we start today, I've entitled, We Are to Remember. And like I said, you'll see why I titled it that when we read the text and we kind of go a little bit down the line with it. So now as we look at this passage, really what's right here in front of us, and we get a really great insight into the heart of the Apostle Peter. We see it very clearly. We see his heart for the church and his church family and for others and for people. Taylor, it's kind of whining up here. Thanks. That man back there is doing all of it. He's got the sound and the video and the thing, and he's just doing a great job. And thank you, Taylor. So let's start by reading this passage this morning, and then we'll go from there. I want you to hear the heart of the Apostle Peter. Chapter 1, verse 12 through 15, he says this, "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. Even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by the way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is intimate, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to your mind." So here we have the Peter as an apostle. We have Peter as a shepherd of the church, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's ready, and he's always ready to remind others of the truth that he's teaching in 2 Peter. I want you to grab that and think about that for a moment. He says he considers it right, he counts it as right, he thinks it's necessary, he esteems it as being faithful to his salvation, to stir others up by the way of reminder, to stir up your mind, to recall to one's mind the truths that he's teaching. That's what he's wanting us to understand here, what we want to get out of God's Word. He wants others to be able to call these truths to their mind. Someone like Craig brought to us, God gives us, okay, so think upon these things. When you got things going on in your life, God says, okay, here's Philippians 4, 9 and 10, I think it is, you know, that. So think upon these things. Here the Apostle Peter is encouraging each and every one of us, especially himself, that as life is happening and things are going on, what I'm going to do, I'm going to stir your mind up by the way of reminder so you think upon these things, you remember these things. He desires believers to remember these truths. He desires to raise or rouse the mind of a believer to remember. He desires believers not to forget these teachings that he has. That's the idea here. You guys heard that in the text, right? Would you agree? Would you agree? Interact here now with what we're doing. Use your mind as I'm speaking for the Word of God and what God is saying. What he's wanting us to do is he's saying, hey, it's important for us to remind each other, to stir up our minds, to remember these truths that I'm going to be teaching. It's an important aspect. That's his heart. That's the heart of the Apostle Peter. So you ask the question, so why is it so important to remember these truths that he's going to be teaching on? Simply chapter 2, if we broke it apart, this is what he says. Because of the attack on the truth by the world, by the false teaching, by your own flesh, and by the enemy of God. That would be his number one reason why we need to remember, the truths that are taught in 2 Peter. There are three primary truths that he teaches on. And he wants us to remember, wants you to remember, me to remember, and us to remind each other are, first, of our salvation. That's what verses 1 through 11 is. He just taught on that because we just jumped into the text here. But we're to remember the amazing truths of our salvation. Look at chapter 1, look at verse 3 and 4. Apply this to what we just heard. Listen to what he says. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him, Jesus Christ, who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. We need to remind each other of that. We've escaped the corruption that's in the world by its lust because of the divine power of God. Because he changed our nature. He gave us a new life. We're going to look into that next week, but see what the Apostle Peter is wanting to remind us of. Look at verse 9. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted. We'll get into those later. Having forgotten his purification from his former sins. How often do you remember that because of the salvation of the Lord, you have had a purification from your former sins? You're not who you used to be. Sin is no longer your master. Lust is not what drives your life. I gotta want. It's gotta be this way. It's gotta go that way. This is what it makes me happy. You are rescued from that in Jesus Christ. Now, it's in our flesh. We still battle it, but we need to remember what God did in our salvation. And see, that's what the Apostle Peter's getting to. Just like we studied in Psalm 103 that I taught just a few weeks back, we are not to forget none of the benefits of his salvation. Secondly, the primary truth to remember is our scripture. He'll teach on that in verses 16 through 21. We are to remember the source of the word of God, the source of scriptures and its truth. Look at verse 20 and 21 in chapter 1. He writes, but know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of a human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. That is so powerful. God's word, the truth of Scripture, are not man-made. They're not man-made. They're not man-interpreted. They're not from the mind of man. The word of God is inerrant, sufficient. God breathed from his own mouth, and what God's word says is determined by God, not man. It sits in judgment of us. We do not sit in judgment of the word of God. We have to remember that. We don't get to bend it, shape it, make it fit to how we want to understand it. We got to let God speak and listen and act and think. We got to remember that each and every day of our life. We are to be like Psalm 119:61, where it says, even though the cords of the wicked have encircled me, I have not forgot your law. We are to remember his word, what God says and what it means. Third primary truth to remember is our sanctification. Peter teaches that in all of chapter 3. But look at chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Let me just give you a little snippet of what he teaches about sanctification. Look what he says here in chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and all of its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? You hear what he's saying. This is the truth of what's going to happen. The Lord is going to come back and rule and reign. Then he's going to end it all, and he's going to create a new heaven and earth. We're part of that. This is what we see, know, and understand. And God is wanting to deal with our lives, that we be Christ-like in this world, with his plan and purpose, where it's headed and what is going to go on. Nothing can thwart it. Nothing can stop it. He's sanctifying us. You see, with God's end in mind, we are to embrace the sanctifying work of God in our lives. For he knows today, and he knows tomorrow, and he knows next year. And he knows when God the Father knows when the Lord returns. And so we got to remember in the midst of all these hard things and all these challenging things, and we as a church body, what we have talked about in the midst of this virus, in the midst of what's going on in our world, what has God been showing us? How has he been changing us? How has he been working our life? Because that's what God is focused on in our life about. And that's what we want to remember about what God is doing. Like it says in Titus 2:14, we are to remember that the Lord Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. So Peter desires to stir up the mind by the way the reminder to remember these truths. Then a second question arises. Why do we need to recall to one's mind these truths? Why do we need our minds stirred up? Why do we need to remember and be encouraged to remember? How would you answer that? Because we forget, right? That's what Peter's doing this for, and what he's talking about, and what he's encouraging in here, is that we need to do this for each other. He's going to do that. Others are going to do that. We're going to do this for each other because we're forgetful. Amazingly so, we're forgetful. We can remember a lot of trivial information, but have trouble remembering these truths. Trouble remembering God's salvation, his word, his sanctification in our life in the midst of everything going on. And let me show you from the word of God that God knows this all about us. He's aware of our need. Like Ray said, I looked up through the scriptures and digging into them, and I found at least 300. It was more than that. I just kind of got tired of counting. Where the word of God tells us not to forget, or you have forgotten, you haven't remembered, or to remember in the Bible. Way back in Deuteronomy 6, God said, I am the Lord your God, in verse 4. Verse 12, he said, watch it that you don't remember, that you forget that I am the Lord your God. A whole 8 verses. And in between there, here's what he said. He said, talk about me when you rise up and when you sit down and when you walk in the way. Teach about me with each other and your children. Bind my law on the forehead of your mind. And watch yourself that you don't forget that I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 7:18 says, you shall remember what the Lord your God did for you. Chapter 8, verse 2 says, you shall remember the way the Lord led you. Verse 18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for he has given you the power to make wealth. Chapter 9, verse 7, Deuteronomy, remember, do not forget how you provoked me. What happened with Israel, you guys? They forgot. I mean, it's the word of God. Moses is there telling them and they're talking about him, and God's saying, don't forget, don't forget. You need to remember, don't forget I'm the Lord your God. And then something hard comes their way, something comes against their flesh, something that they don't like, and then God's going, like, you've forgotten me? Anybody relate to that? I guess nobody, we're just me, right? That's just my life. That's how it goes with me. You guys are all remembering everything all the time, okay? When's your wife's birthday? It's May 12th. I'm not going to say the year. 1 Chronicles 16:12 says this. They were told to remember God's wonderful deeds in which he has done, his marvels, his judgments from his mouth, and they forgot. Isaiah 51:13 says, is where Isaiah is telling God's people, you have forgotten the Lord your maker. You ever forget that the Lord is your maker? You're a created being by God himself. Isaiah 17:10 says, for you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not remembered the rock of your refuge. Why do we forget? How could you forget that the God is the God of your salvation, you've not remembered that he's the rock of your refuge? Because I'm a human being, Lord, and I need you, and I walk in my own self, and I don't think, and I don't set my mind on you. Do you recall that God gave Israel the Passover to do each year as a symbol of remembrance? You know how many years they did the Passover? You know how dramatic the Passover was? The death angels come in, let's put the blood on, and everywhere it's over, God's death angel passes over where it's not. Firstborn's dead, immediately, boom. I mean, it's just real, and he gives them this Passover to remember. What things should they have remembered? Anybody remember what they were supposed to remember? Let me ask you this, what are we to remember in communion. We're going to do that next week. Why he came, what he did, who he is. It's not that we remember Jesus in the sense we remember who he was, why he came, what he did. Israel was to remember that God is the God of redemption, the God of deliverance, the God of salvation, the God of grace, the God of mercy and judgment and justice. Israel didn't remember that, but remembered Egypt, and they got out of Egypt. They forgot about God. Is that what we remember of God's salvation? Is that when we think about what we're remembering God and not forgetting him and thinking about him, is that we got out of hell and into heaven and not who he is, why he came, what he did? Jesus said in John 15:20, remember the word which I said to you. Paul said in Acts 20:35, remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to Timothy and to us, remember Jesus Christ, born of the seed of David, risen from the dead, according to my gospel. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 32:18, you neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. Yeah, we need stirred up by the way reminder. We certainly do. Jude wrote in verse 17 of his epistle, you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's word. One more. There's so many. But listen to Psalm 45:17. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the peoples will give you thanks forever and ever. Isn't that the heart of Peter? That I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations, therefore the peoples will give you thanks forever and ever. That's his heart. He desires that you remember, I remember, to stir up you and all of us in these truths. And one author wrote it this way. One author pointed me to this book by Mike Griffith. The book was called God's Forgetful Pilgrims. You should read it. In the book, he says, Christians have a strange amnesia. For a high portion of people who go to church have forgotten what it's all for. They can go through the routine, but give little thought to what's going on. The Bible talks about us being a bride of Christ, and I might add, pure and chaste bride, but for some, the church seems more like a ragged Cinderella who has forgotten she's supposed to be a beautiful lady, end quote. We forget. God knows us. He knows us best. Do you know God repeats his word over and over and over again? You can dig into the stories of Jesus and you can look at it in the Gospels, and they're a little bit different here, a little bit different there, because he's a great teacher and he wouldn't just give the same message, but it's the same principles, it's the same truth, it's the same thing that God wants us to know. It's like, oh, it's there and it's there and it's there and it's there. And then the Apostle Paul wrote it 4 times about those truths. They're not all the same words, but they're the same thing, because we need to be stirred up to remember. Mr. Griffith is simply saying we forget. We can forget what we're all about. We forget why we do what we do. So here in our text, we have the Word of God in Peter's heart to encourage us that we need to remember. So go ahead and turn your outline over, and let's get into what the Apostle Peter is encouraging us in. A simple way to look at this passage is to see the heart of Peter for others. His heart is for them not to forget these truths, not to forget God's salvation, God's words, God's sanctification. And I'm sure, you guys with me, that's your desire for others also, isn't it? Is it your desire, parent, for your children not to forget the truths of God? Wives, is it your desire that your husbands not forget their salvation, their sanctification, not forget that God's word is holy and just and right, all the things that it is? Is it your desire that your friends and your family be reminded about what God's truths are? You know, it absolutely it is, isn't it? Even for ourselves, in our love for the church family and our love for God, we desire to participate in this ministry of remembering these God's truths. We desire to stir up the others in the way of reminder. And also, by the way, all of us play a part in this. All of us play a part in this. Nobody's outside of this. This isn't about gifts. This isn't about you know, calling. This is about the body of Christ, the church family, any believer. That's what this is about. These 5 points in our outline apply to each and every one of us. Let me grab a drink of water real quick. So as we look at this passage again, and we're just going to touch lightly on it, this ministry of being stirred up in the way of reminder, we are all to be a part of that. First, we see the urgency of ministry. Look at verse 12 with me. The urgency of this ministry of stirring one another up in the way of reminder, reminding each other of these truths, salvation, sanctification, God's truth. It's one of urgency. Verse 12. Therefore, I always be ready to remind you of these things. Therefore refers to the salvation blessings, the blessed of salvation in verses 1 through 11. We're going to dig into that next week. But there is a reality that Christians in the midst of this world that we live in can forget about that salvation and wander off to sin, right? Let me ask you that. Is there a reality in your life that you can forget about the blessedness of your salvation and what God did? Grace, mercy, love, all the different things about salvation. Forget that God died on the cross, gave his life, the ransom to many, right? Took your penalty of sin on the cross, all of that. There's a sense, right, that a Christian can wander away from the truths and thinking about salvation, wander off in sin. Am I right? Well, see, God doesn't want you to do that. He has the Holy Spirit in you. He's encouraging you to be in the Word and read the Word of God. He's calling you to be a part of the body of Christ. He gave you a family of God. He's called you to be a part of it, and we're supposed to be reminding each other of these things. It's kind of an urgency in it. Do you believe that a believer can sort of turn their back on the righteousness of God and Savior and turn their back on all of the grace and all the divine power that God, that grants them everything pertaining to life and godliness and wander away from the escape from lust dominating their life and let it come back and dominate their life? Do you believe a believer can do that? Well, God knows us. God knows our lives. He gives us his Word. He gives us the body of Christ. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He knows our weaknesses. He knows those things. This is about protection and about encouragement and about the way that God has for us. Peter says, I am always ready to remind you of the greatness and fullness of your salvation with a sense of urgency. See, there's no point of waiting. That's important here. When somebody is astray and somebody's thinking something going on and you love them and because you're in the body of Christ and you love them from the love of God poured out in your heart, doesn't matter related to you or not, in the sense of a family, that kind of thing. We are a body of Christ and all that. And somebody moves away. We're supposed to go, well, wait. What about the divine power of God that has called by his own glory and excellence and given you a way of escape out of this lust? What about that? That's the kind of relationship God calls us to. Not to ignore it. Not to say, well, you know, what about the things in our lives that we're forgetting about that God is sanctifying our life? I know that's hard, and I'm broken over that that's hard. But, man, we want to focus on where God is changing our life for his glory. Or are we going to just focus on how hard it is? Then take me home, Lord. Because I don't want to focus on how hard it is. And I'm like you. I have to battle that all the time. He says, I'm always ready. Peter is saying whenever and wherever and whenever I'm given an opportunity to stir up the mind by the way of reminder of those truths, I'm ready. Urgency. Who doesn't want to be ready to help someone avoid forgetting these truths? What happens when you forget the truths of God? When you get your eyes off him and his salvation and his Word and his sanctification? Doesn't go well. Never went well for me. In fact, much of any preaching is just reminding us of the truths that we already know. I'm not saying something today that you don't even know. Much of preaching is just reminding us of what we already understand. Maybe we understand them a little deeper and a little wider and see the application a little more through the preaching of God's Word, but it's always a way of reminder. Because, see, it's here. It's the Word of God, and it's always the way of the reminder in the Word of God. It's revelation. It tells us who he is and exposes us to who we are. But it's God's way that he reminds us of who he is and who we are. Paul did this, same thing, Romans 15, 15. I have written to you very boldly to you on some points so as to remind you again. Dr. Farnell, a Greek professor at the Master Seminary, I took him for Greek, and neat guy. We call him Maximus. He requires you call him Maximus. He's the one that taught me to never park your car within the lines. Do not let the man tell you how to park. He did that at seminary. He parked on the end and always went a tire right over the line where he's like, Dr. Farnell, do you have a problem seeing? He says, no, I just don't want somebody to tell me what to do. Now he said, now you guys, I'm just teasing. I just park crooked all the time. He would never tell us not to honor authority. And he was my advisor. So when I graduated Gladiator Greek, he had, what's the movie Gladiator? What's the star? Russell Crowe. He had a Russell Crowe cutout about this big, right? And he gave me a real helmet. And then I had to kneel, and then he took this big real sword, and he anointed me as a Gladiator Greek. It was hilarious. I mean, they got some personality there. He's a neat guy. One of his classes, he had us do this for 10 minutes. I'm not kidding you. It's a 3.5-hour class, so 10 minutes was like a break from something. But he said, from the teaching of the Bible, here's what we learn. Repetition is the key to learning. The key to learning is repetition. Let's say that for 10 minutes. What do you guys think? Can you repeat after me? Repetition is the key to learning. The key to learning is repetition. Repetition is the key to learning. The key to learning. You guys, look at it. It is, isn't it? I just had you do it twice. You already got it. You see, the Bible repeats itself over and over. On the main biblical truths, because we are not to forget, God does this. We should constantly be reminding each other of these truths. But with the right spirit, though. Look at verse 12. That's point B on your outline, the spirit of the ministry. Look what he says. Even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present within you. Now, I'm just lightly touching the surface of all this is saying. Now, the spirit that we have this in, that we remind each other of the truths of salvation, even when someone is kindness and humility, isn't it? There's a time when we have to teach and maybe confront, or we might have to teach what they may not know or understand, but here we are to be reminding each other what we know, what is present within you. It's present within every believer. If you are saved, born again, regenerated, made new with a new life, you know some basic things about salvation, about God's word, about God's work in your life. They're present within you by the power and the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Every believer does. And in our daily walk with the Lord, we are to remind each other of this in kindness. That's how we do that. When you go, wait, it's in kindness and humility. Wait, I know what life is like when you don't get your eyes, when you get your eyes off the Lord, when you forget what God has done in your salvation, when you don't see that life is about sanctification, when you forget that this is God's holy word and Him breathed and He's the only one that interprets. We come in humility. Listen to the Apostle Paul, how he writes something to Colossians. Don't turn there, just let me read it to you. Now the Colossians, they had a lot of things wrong. They were thinking some things wrongly, and he wanted to help them and love them, and they needed to straighten it out. They had things wrong, and they wanted to be encouraged in their walk with the Lord. And here's how the Apostle Paul starts in the letter of Colossians. He says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world, and also it's constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it's been doing in you, and since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God and truth. He's talking about, wow, spiritual growth is happening, but in this letter to the Colossians, it's full of exhortations, calling them to a higher kind of life, straightening things out in their understanding. Yet he says, I know you heard the truth. I know you believe the truth. I'm affirming all of that, but I'm trying to increase your devotion to Christ. And I'm coming in kindness and humility. They were living a lot of things wrong. They were believing some things about Christ that weren't true. But that's the way he came. Chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, he says it this way. I love this two verses. Therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him. having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. Listen to the kindness and love, but the encouragement. Listen, if you're saved, walk with him. Because you've been firmly rooted in your salvation in him, and now you're being built up in him by God and establishing in your faith just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. That's where God is taking us, to where our heart is full of gratitude. It might not be now, but you can see, I know it's present in you. And so I'm going to speak those truths to you. That's the spirit or attitude in which we remind each other what to remember. Now look at verse 13 of 2 Peter. There's a duty to this ministry. Look what he said in 13. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by the way of reminder. Now, as long as I'm alive, you guys get that, right? I consider it right to stir you up by the way of reminder. Here's interesting what that says. To stir you up by the way of reminder, Peter says, I consider it right. Using the Greek words here in the text, you could translate it this way. I thought it necessary. I count it as right before God. I see it as being faithful to my salvation and to the God of my salvation. It's a duty. We're not supposed to ignore it. And on the flip side of it, when somebody comes to you, you're supposed to receive it. Because it's out of love, right? It's out of humility. It's out of the love that we have for each other. It's out of kindness. It's out of knowing that we need to be reminded. Remind me, please. Each and every one of you, anytime you see that, I need to be reminded. Yes, come in humility. Yes, come in kindness. But it's a responsibility of the salvation we have. We're not supposed to ignore that. That's not how the body of Christ works and the church family. It's like what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. He said, for it's only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of the grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. To help people remember who God is and what he's done and is doing is to fulfill the duty because of the affection that God has given us for each other. Then Peter, back to 2 Peter, look at verse 14. He recognized the brevity of the ministry. Look at verse 14 with me. Knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. So he's saying, so I'm going to die soon. And Christ told me I was going to. He said it was going to be close. I'm not going to live a long time. The Lord told Peter that in John 21, 18. So you know there's an urgency to stir up others to remind, to remember, a kindness in all of that, a faithfulness to God's salvation, and a brevity to it. Let me ask you, how long do you really have with your children? How long you got? Goes by quick, doesn't it? How long you got with your family? How long you got with your neighbors, co-workers, believers in Christ that you know? How long do you have? Do you got forever? How long do you have with son-in-laws and grandchildren that are in my case? How long? Am I guaranteed tomorrow? Your kids grow up, get married, can move away. I mean, how long do we have? I mean, it's a brevity kind of thing, isn't it? To stir up the truths of salvation, his word, and sanctification. Remember all that God has done. Recognize you don't have forever in this. And lastly, look what he says. The legacy of the ministry. Verse 15, he says, and I will also be diligent that any time after my departure, you will be able to call things these things to mind. Now, Peter recognizes that after he is gone, as he passes away, the legacy of this letter, God's word, would help others be able to call these things to mind. That really is helpful, Peter. You got to write the letter here, and we get to read it. But how about you? What's your legacy? How about us collectively? What's our legacy? What's our legacy going to be? Are we living in a manner, living out the ministry of helping others call to their mind salvation's truth, God's holy word, and the sanctifying work of God in our lives after we're gone? Yes, we're supposed to share the gospel, evangelize, but this is the work of the ministry that is in Ephesians 4:12, that we are to be equipped so we can do the work of the ministry to building up of the body of Christ. It's what we're here to do. what is our legacy going to look like? God desires it to be one that is carried on. What's it going to be? What is it here? How's it going? Is that the legacy that I have or that you have? The legacy you desire to have? We're going to close with these last two verses. Now, this was just the introduction as we're getting into 2 Peter. So we're going to take this right here that we're going to remember and stir each other up to remember. We'll get into salvation, then we'll get into God's Word, and then we'll get into sanctification. We're spending 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks here. But I want you to listen to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and says this, which really, because Timothy is a pastor, it's a pastoral epistle, then it applies to elders. And then it applies to men in the church. And then it applies to all of us. But listen to the Apostle Paul, what he wrote to Timothy. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's the legacy to leave, men. That's what it is. God has entrusted you with the Word of God. You're to encourage those that are in your life to be faithful to the Word of God so they can carry it on. That's God's desire for us. Women also, as His church, to have a heart for those in your life to be stirred up to remember God's saving truths, to be ready, humble, faithful in each opportunity for where to remember. Now, as we close in prayer, let's ask the Lord to help us live out His word we heard today. We all know James, right? To be effectual doer of His word, not a forgetful hearer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for Your word to us today, the day of worship, and all that we've been encouraged in through the service today, through the ministries going on, and through the life of the body of Christ and reaching out, loving each other, to the encouragement that we already are and the way that we already live this text out. And how, Lord, You are at work in our lives. We all recognize that there's a sanctifying work going on in our lives. Maybe we need to remember it a little bit more, acknowledge it a little bit more, help us to bring to remembrance the things we were encouraged to think upon today through Philippians 4, 9-10. And help us to stir up each other, encourage each other to remind us what God did in our salvation, all the truths that are in that. No matter what happens in this life, He's never left us or forsaken us. And His plan and purpose and His glory will be the outcome of it all. And He says, and also our good. So we just give You praise today and thanks. Worship You and You alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed for today.